5 seconds.
Log Talk Radio.
1.
Log Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole.
Uh-huh.
And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh, Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Lead me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. Don't frighten me and now we flee from falling leaves.
Uh-huh.
The blood and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we are his wives to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root were a prey and pursuit. Rebellious of his son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejecting the reproof. Then acknowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. Yon decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling us Ham. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave us the Rothschild. Now we exalt the vow, but it's a turnstile. Yah's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise Yah from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. Yah give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Ye adore Yah, magnify Yah, cut me straight.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Giving all praises and all honor unto the mighty Elohim, whose name is Yahweh and Yahweh alone, by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Welcome to another broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. Here located at the House of Israel of Cincinnati, from 1907 Vine Street. I am Morey Ishya Yisrael to bring you the holy word of Yah, nothing but the truth. I'd like to welcome everybody to our program that is listening in our internet audience, who we know that the only reason you are listening and tuning in is for your fear and your love toward the Most High. And we can assure you that what we teach is nothing but the truth. Yet, if you feel that anything we are teaching is contrary to the truth, then send us a message. You can message us on our YouTube or email us. And this evening, we'll be discussing iniquity, transgression, and sin. It is a time and a season amongst our people that Yahweh gave us to atone for our sins. The time that is upon us is called the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. And the Almighty has given us this time that we may atone for our sins and be cleansed from all our iniquities, transgressions, and our sins. For the Almighty let us know that in the seventh month and the tenth day of the month, that we shall have a Day of Atonement. Let's read that law. It's located in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. In Leviticus chapter 23, we'll begin reading in verse 26, where it states, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, also, in the tenth day of the seventh month, in the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a Day of Atonement." Now let's understand the time and the purpose of this law. It says, also on the 10th day. And Yahweh say that the 10th part is holy unto him. That the 10th is holy. And why is the 10th holy? The 10th is holy because Yahweh made 10 to be in the order of three. In everything that deals with the order of three, whether it's the third day, the third year, the third holy day, the third season, everything that has to deal with the order of three is a sign that it is set apart for holiness. On the third day, which happens to be today, Yahweh made the earth and the seas and the plants and the trees. And the Almighty also made the third day, or the third, to be for his servant. And why? Because Yah's servant is holy. How do we know Yah's servant is holy? Because Yahweh told us, he said, "I am Yahweh and I am holy, so you shall be holy." He told the children of Israel on the third day that if he keep the commandments in his covenant, that we'll be a holy nation. So the third is holy, and 10 is in the order of three. And also on the 10th day of this seventh month. Again, the seventh is something that Yahweh has given for a sign so that you know it is at rest. It is completed. It is blessed and it is sanctified. He's giving you three things upon the seventh. It's rested, or it's completed, it's ceased, it's finished, So it's at rest. He blessed it and he has sanctified it. So not only is the seventh holy, it has three signs upon it, so you have no doubt that it is holy. And also on the 10th day, which is a holy season of the seventh month, which is a holy season, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, an offering, offering made by fire unto Yahweh. So this is the time that's coming upon us, and it's the time that we need to know how to be holy. And since we need to know how to be holy, we're going to discuss three things this evening that separates you from being holy. Yes, why will we discuss things that's going to separate us from being holy? Because you want to be holy and you don't want these three things to corrupt you on the upcoming Day of Atonement. You want to know about them. So if you have any of them, or all three of them, you want to get rid of them so you can walk and enter into holiness. And the Almighty mentioned these three things in the book of Exodus, the 34th chapter. And if you go to the book of Exodus, the 34th chapter, and start reading in verse 6, it states here, "And Yahweh passed by before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh Elohim, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the children's children, unto the third and fourth generation." So the Most High said he forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin if you want to be forgiven. And you can only want to be forgiven if you acknowledge your iniquity, your transgression, and your sin. And the Almighty has taught us and showed us and illuminated to us what this is, so that you may know for yourself. And you don't have to take our word for it. All you have to do is see the scriptures we're showing you, look at them yourself, and come to your own conclusion. But I will let you know that we have been ordained and raised up to only bring you the truth of the Most High, and therefore this is what you will hear. And I'm going to tell you and teach you and show you what transgression is. I know More Ishaya taught yesterday defining sin, showing iniquity. And the other day, before the Sabbath, I taught what sin is overall. But today we're going to look at all three of them. What is transgression, iniquity, and sin? And let me show you what Yahweh said about transgression and what it is. If you go with me to the book of Psalms, the 5th chapter, and begin reading in the 8th verse, it states here, in Psalms 5, verse 8, Lead me, O Yahweh, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. These are the enemies. Destroy thou them, O Elohim. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. And that is what one does when they transgress. They rebel against Yahweh. If you want to see more evidence, go to the book of Isaiah, the 57th chapter, to show you that when you transgress, you're not only sinning, you're not only committing iniquity, but you're rebelling against the Almighty. And in Isaiah 57, we'll just begin reading at the first verse. It states in Isaiah 57, verse 1, the righteousness perish, the righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking upright in his uprightness. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom do you make? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not the children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks? How Yahweh describes the transgressors, sorcerers, the adulterers, the whores, who sport their selves against the Almighty, who speak wide with their mouth, the seed of falsehood, who inflame yourselves with your idols. This is rebellion. This is transgression. And why is it that we need to know about transgression? Because many of us are transgressors. A rebel doesn't want to do the law. A rebel not only commits sin, not only has iniquity, a rebel actively goes against the word of the Most High. And that's rebellion. And that's what a transgressor does. Let me show you an example of a transgressor in the book of Jeremiah, the 44th chapter, the 16th verse. Because many of us are awakening to the truth of Yah and his beautiful light that he is shining. But in doing so, many of us are realizing and are seeing that we have been transgressors, living in iniquity and living in sin. But Yahweh is merciful. He said he forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And since he forgives it, it will behoove us to know what it is so we can ask properly of the Almighty and ask him to please forgive us. for our iniquity, our transgressions, and our sins. And it states in Jeremiah 44 and 16. Well, let me start a little bit earlier than that. In verse 15, it states, then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other Elohim, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word which thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Yahweh. And letting you know this also, Yah said he's forgiven iniquity, transgression, and sin. The second thing he mentioned was transgression. And when you transgress, when you rebel, you actively take Yah's name in vain. You go against the name of the Most High. You speak against the name of the Most High. You walk contrary to him, even though he came to you and gave you his name. And Yah's word says here in Jeremiah 44 and 16, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Yah, we will not hearken unto thee. How in the world can somebody do that? That's so amazing to me. Do you hear what they just said? Understand how you feel about Yahweh in the heart of your hearts, in the soul of your soul, how much you love the Almighty. And then you hear people who are supposed to be your people, your ancestors, your blood. And they said, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Yah, we will not hearken unto thee. But, verse 17, we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes, in the cities of Yehuda, and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. I know it sounds bad. It is one of the worst things I have ever seen in my life. But you know what's even worse? Thinking that you and I don't do exactly this with our actions. Let me show you what I'm talking about so you can really understand transgression. Go to the book of Ezekiel. See, that's rebelliousness there. Go to the book of Ezekiel, the third chapter. In Ezekiel chapter 3, we'll just start reading in the first verse. So you can understand that transgressing Yahweh is rebelling against Yahweh. That's why the Psalms have said that the enemy have rebelled. In their transgression, they have rebelled. And in Ezekiel, the third chapter, it states here, first verse, moreover, He said unto me, Son of man, eat that which thou findest. Eat this roll, and go and speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of a strange speech, and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee unto them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Do you understand what Yahweh is telling his prophet? He's letting him know that though you go to your own family, to the people who come from you, who you come from, though they understand every word coming out of your mouth, they understand the slang, they understand how you talk, they understand your cadence and your voice, they understand how you look when you say a thing, they feel you, they understand you, they with you, they there, they still not going to listen to you. They won't hearken to you. They won't pay you no mind. Why? They don't even listen to this great Elohim. And this is the great Elohim we're not listening to. Just to show you how severe a transgression is in the book of Jeremiah, the second chapter, just showing you that transgressing is rebellion. And when you rebel, this is how we look. This is what Yahweh says about us. And this is how severe it is. You see, our ancestors told Jeremiah, that which you said in the name of Yah, we're not going to do it. And that was a horrible thing that they said. And then in Ezekiel, you see that a rebel, a transgressor in Israel, won't listen to the prophet of Yahweh. And Yahweh said, because they won't even listen to him. And I'm going to show you who we don't listen to. In Jeremiah, the second chapter, we're going to start reading There's so much good stuff here. I don't want to miss it all. But I don't want to lose you. So we're going to start reading in verse 4. And it says here, hear ye the word of Yahweh, O house of Yaakov, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says Yahweh, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is Yahweh that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of shadow and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is Yah? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. Why does he say also? He was already explaining how the priests rebelled, how the people rebelled, how we didn't even look for him, and also the pastors, the leaders, those that led the flock, the the prophets, the pastors transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by the false deity, and walk after things that do not profit. Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, says Yah, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Kittim, and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their Elohim? That's what you do when you rebel. You go against whoever is in authority. And if you change your Elohim, you rebel in a wholehearted manner against the Most High. Because you not only walk contrary unto him, you had the nerve to get a whole nother God. And these are no gods. And Yah said, has a nation changed their Elohim? Which are not yet gods, which aren't Elohim. They are no power. They have no power. But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith Yah, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So you see, when we transgress, as Yahweh has clearly shown, a transgression is a terrible rebellion, a horrible thing to do. And when you read about people that transgress, you see how bad it is. Let me show you another place about this transgressing. Go to the book of 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter. People, we don't truly understand how severe a transgression is. But Yah willing, after this evening and night, you will have the understanding of how severe a transgression is, so that now when you go to ask Yahweh to forgive for iniquity, transgression, and sin, you know what you're asking for and why. And he said he forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And that's why he's a merciful Elohim. Because could you forgive somebody that says something as haughty and arrogant as our people have, the word which you have spoken in the name of Yahweh, we will not hearken? My goodness. But don't get too beside ourselves, because we, with our actions, have done exactly the same. And some of us, with our words, have done and said exactly the same. Yet Yahweh said that we must keep his law. Some of us have said, even though that's the law, I'm not going to do it. Not right now. Yet we need to do it right now. And in the book of 2 Chronicles 26, start reading at verse 16, where it states here, but when he was strong, speaking about Uzziah, Uzziah reigned for almost 50 years. Uzziah was a great king in Israel, in Yehuda, and he reigned 52 years. And almost the whole time, he did righteousness. He built all kind of towers. He was industrious. He strengthened Yehuda. But it said when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And doesn't the Proverbs let us know that before a fall is a prideful spirit? Haughtiness come before the fall? Pride come before destruction? So when he was strong, and that's why the Most High let us know, don't let the strong man glory in his strength. Because if you glory in your strength, you'll become lifted up, and it will be to your destruction. So Uzziah became lifted up in his destruction, for he transgressed against Yahweh his Elohim and went into the temple of Yahweh to burn incense upon the altar of incense, which is something that was not for Uzziah. He was the king. He ruled Yehuda. He was over the whole country. But yet, he was not allowed to go into the house of Yah and burn incense on Yah's altar. That did not pertain to him. But because he felt so strong, because he looked at his kingdom and said to himself, I have become strong. I am great. I can do such and such a thing. It was to his destruction. And in verse 17, it says, and Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80, meaning 80, 80 priests of Yahweh. Now understand, there's time and purpose for everything. Everything. And why did 80 priests go into Yah's house? Because they needed to separate Uzziah from this thing. And there was going to be some separating going on. Verse 17, incidentally, is the order of three. And 80 is the order of three. And how is Yahweh going to show this separation? It said 80 priests of Yahweh that were valiant men, meaning they weren't no Buddhist monks that just waded in the water. These were valiant, strong, Phinehas kind of men who will put a javelin through you and your woman for coming in disrespecting the Most High. Verse 18, they withstood Uzziah, the king. So they got it before him and said, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto Yah, but to the priests, the sons of Aharon, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from Yahweh Elohim. So they warn him. They let him know. Don't do this thing. You're transgressing. You're trespassing. You're stepping over the line. You're being a rebel. Don't do it. It's not for you. Then Uzziah was wroth. He didn't hearken. Because he was lifted up to his destruction. So he didn't hearken. He didn't take heed to the priest. It says, then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of Yahweh from beside the incense altar. What does that mean? You're going to see what that means. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself, Uzziah himself also hasted to go out because Yahweh had smitten him. So they didn't have to try to push him out no more because they seen it. Uzziah saw it. Uzziah was like, oh my goodness, this leprosy is upon me. And he ran. And Uzziah saw that Yah had smitten him. And Uzziah the king, verse 21, was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of Yah. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. You see what transgression gets you? It gets you cut off. And Uzziah's case is especially dangerous because you see, Yahweh made him a leper. Now, some people might have taught you that this leper thing is just raw flesh of your skin. But Yahweh made Uzziah a leper for a reason. And Yahweh is showing us transgression in Uzziah and how he rebelled against the priests and the words that they spoke to him for a reason. Go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, and you'll see exactly how severe transgressing against Yah's word, especially his servants, the priests, is in the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter. You're going to see what it says. Start reading in the 8th verse. And it says here, take heed in the plague of leprosy that thou observe diligently to do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. As I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. Remember what Yahweh your Elohim did unto Miriam, by the way, after that ye come forth out of Egypt. And what did Yahweh do? This is what Uzziah failed to hearken to. And this is what Yah did in Numbers, the 12th chapter. You're going to see. And I'm going to show you quickly and briefly, but expressly what Yah did to Miriam. And you'll see it in verse chapter 12 of Numbers, the 6th verse. It says, and he said, and Yahweh said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of Yahweh shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against them. And he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam was leprous, white as snow. And Aharon looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous, white as snow. And therefore, Yah said, remember what he did to Miriam. He turned to white. Remember. And Uzziah didn't remember. And Yahweh let the leprosy rise up, even up to his forehead, which lets you know he turned them white. This great king, this great black king who reigned 52 years, who made Yehuda strong, transgressed in a big way. And it got him white. And you see how severe transgressing against the law of Yah is. Against saying to his servant, everything you just told us in the name of Yah, we're not going to do it. It's very, very dangerous. And we need to know how severe that is. Because Yahweh does not want us to die in our transgressions. He said he is forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. So let me show you how you can understand just how clear Yahweh wants you to know this iniquity, this transgression, and this sin. You see, being a transgressor is like being a rebel. Look in the book of 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we'll start reading in verse 20. And just showing you transgression. And then I'm going to show you again iniquity. And then I'm going to again show you sin. And then we're going to put this all together. And we're going to see how merciful our Elohim is. And in the book of 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, says in the 20th verse, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh and have gone the way which Yah sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto Yahweh thy Elohim in Gilgal. And Samuel said, has Yahweh as a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the sacrifice or the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And a witch is a transgressor. They're not going to do what Yah say. They're going to go opposite. They're going to fight Yahweh. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of Yah, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. He's acknowledging that I did something against the law. For I have transgressed the commandment of Yah. He acknowledged that he rebelled against mighty Yah. And thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So Saul let you know what it was. He was the rebel. And he tried to blame the people, but he was the rebel. And then look what Saul says. Now therefore, verse 25, pardon thee my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship Yah. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of Yah, and Yahweh hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. You see how severe this is? Yahweh said he by no means will clear the guilty. And Saul was guilty. And it wasn't in Saul's heart to be innocent. It wasn't in Saul's heart to be pure and wholehearted with Yah. He was just trying to appease Yah. First, he tried to appease the people. Then he got caught and he tried to appease Samuel. He just tried to appease and appease. He just wanted everything for himself. And Yahweh seen right through that. and said, no, I reject that. Because you rejected me, I reject you. And who knows if Yahweh will accept you or reject you for our transgressions. And we don't. And the only way we can have a little surety on our side is if you humble yourself and seek Yah and forsake your ways. See, Saul didn't say, I'm going to forsake my ways. He just said, pardon me. Just pardon me. So I could pray. It wasn't in his heart to forsake his way. He just wanted to be pardoned because he was a rebel. And that's what happens when you transgress. Go to the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter. Because now Yahweh said that he forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And we had to deal with transgression first because we dealt with iniquity and sin, but we're now dealing with all three. But we hadn't dealt with transgression. And in Numbers, the 15th chapter, we start reading at verse 27. It states, and if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance, before Yahweh to make an atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven him. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth Yah. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of Yah and hath broken the commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. What is Yahweh letting us know? Presumptuous sin is iniquity. You know what you're doing, and you do it, and it's wrong, and now you're in iniquity. Yahweh don't like that. You know what you're doing is wrong, yet you do it anyway. And then all you want is Yahweh to pardon you. Yahweh know your heart. Yahweh is your judge. Well, Yahweh is your judge, and Yah does know your heart, but that don't mean he's going to pardon you. But if you forsake your ways, then Yahweh said he will be merciful unto who is merciful. But you see, iniquity is a presumptuous sin. Transgression is rebelliousness. And if you go to the book of Leviticus, the 4th chapter, I'm going to start reading here at verse 27. It says, if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of Yahweh concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin which he has sinned come into his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goat, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has sinned. You see, the sin is doing something against the commandments. Look in the first verse of the same chapter. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of Yah, concerning which things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them. A sin is going against the commandments. That's why transgression is a sin. Iniquity is a sin. Sin is a sin. Yet transgression is a rebellious sin. Iniquity is a presumptuous sin. And we cannot be walking around with all this pollution of sin in us if we want Yahweh to forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin. Also, go to the book of Micah. So we understand that transgression is rebellious sin. Iniquity is presumptuous sin. And sin is just going against the commandments of Yahweh. Whether you know it or not, it's sin. And in the book of Micah, or Micaiah, however you might want to say it, in the book of Micah, the 7th chapter, in the 18th verse, it says here, "Who is the Elohim like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." The only way you're going to get this is if you're merciful. And if you're going to be stubborn and hard-hearted and impudent, as Yahweh said we are, and you're not going to soften up and be merciful, then you could expect the outcome of Saul. Saul said, "Pardon me, so I can return and pray and worship Yah." Why didn't Saul say, "I want to forsake my ways. Forgive me, please, for my transgression, my iniquity, and my sin. Let me forsake the ways that I've done." No, that's not what he did. He just said, "Hey, pardon me, you know, pardon me, man, so I can return and pray and worship Yah." That's what we're doing. Every day of atonement. Coming, "Yahweh, forgive me." But we're not forsaking our ways. We're not looking for salvation, deliverance. We just want Yahweh to pardon us and not show forth any humility, repentance, acknowledgement for our wrongdoings at all, even though we know we've done them. Again, look in the book of Micah, the 1st chapter. And we're going to begin reading here. I'll read in the first verse. "The word of Yahweh that came unto Micah, the Morathite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Yehuda, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let Yahweh Elohim be witness against you, Yahweh from his holy temple. For behold, Yahweh cometh forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the waters that are poured down a steep place, for transgression, for the transgression of Yaakov is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel." What is the transgression of Yaakov? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Yehuda? Are they not Jerusalem? He's letting you know. What is the rebelliousness of Jacob? It's Samaria, where they have these deities set up that aren't Yahweh. These molten calves, where they go worship in the 8th month. And it's not the feast that Yahweh has called. That's rebelliousness. And Yahweh is letting you know. But Yahweh said that he forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Look in the book of Leviticus, the fifth chapter. I'm going to go to the first verse of Leviticus of the fifth chapter. It says here, and if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. What does that mean? If a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, and you don't say nothing about it, if you've seen it or know about it, and you don't say nothing about it, you don't correct this person, you don't bring this person up on charges, say, you done sworn against Yah. That is something that is not to be done in Israel. If you don't say something about that, you just let it slide, it's iniquity. It's bearing iniquity. Because you heard it, you knew about it, and you said, I ain't going to do nothing about it. I ain't going to say nothing about that. I'm not going to acknowledge that. I'm going to let it slide. That's presumptuous. And it's iniquity. And it's corrosive to you. And Yahweh doesn't accept it. And if you do it, then it's an iniquity that is in you. See, it's not like you were transgressing, like you was being a rebel, as in the sense that you just fought against Yah's word. Yah came and delivered his word to you and said, do this. And you said, no, I'm not going to do what Yahweh has said. But if somebody does come to you and say, you heard that swearing, proclaim it. Acknowledge what was said so we can deal with it. You say, no, I'm not going to do the word of Yahweh. Not only you got iniquity, not only did you sin, now you're transgressing. Also, let's bring this together and let's see what Yahweh says about all these things. In the book of Isaiah, the 59th chapter, it states here, behold, first verse, Yahweh's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and Elohim, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, your lips has spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave a spider's web. He hath eaten of their eggs. He that hath eaten of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whoso goeth therein shall not know peace. This, the Most High is describing an iniquity, a person or people filled with iniquity that have allowed their presumptuous sins to have dominion over them. Now you have no communication with Yahweh that's real. You're lying, you're deceiving, you're mischievous, you're following after vanity, And if you look at the state of our people today, you might see this. Because many of our people that don't know a thing are not just ignorantly sinning, they're presumptuously sinning, and they love to have it so, and they keep on doing it. And Yahweh said that they don't know the way of peace in verse 8. And there is no judgment in their goings. There's no measurement in their goings. There's no determinations in their goings. There's no decision making in their goings. There's no judgment in their goings. If you want to abort your baby, you can abort your baby. Nothing's going to happen. If you want to change your sex from the doctors, go ahead. Nothing's wrong with that. If you want to love a beast, love a beast. If you want to murder for money, you got to do what you got to do. There's no judgment in their goings. Yet we that proclaim that we know Yah will adhere to the same lack of judgment as long as nobody knows we're doing it. And that is something that is not to be done. Yahweh knows you're doing it. Yahweh knows that you're throwing on your ZZs every Sabbath day and faking the funk. And Yahweh knows that after the Sabbath and the sun goes down, that you're going to the club and you're hanging out with rebels and transgressors. Yahweh knows that. Yahweh knows that you keep on scheming and being a rebel and a transgressor and a sinner and lacking judgment. Even though you wear all the cultural garments, you lock your hair up, you got the Torah chain on your forehead and everywhere else. You look like a Hebrew, you talk like a Hebrew, but we're acting like heathens. We're acting like what exactly Yahweh told us. And in verse 9, he said, therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We all roar like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, and that's what our people do. When the wicked police murder one of our people, we start looking for judgment. Where's the judgment? Where are the police getting arrested? And where the court trial and the conviction? Where is it? Oh, somebody did me wrong. Well, now they need to get dealt with. Something needs to happen. They're not being balanced. But what were we doing? How were we acting? How were we dealing with people? Were we asking for, were we practicing judgment? Were we treating others right? When we did somebody wrong, did we admit it? Did we repent? Did we turn from it? Did we make it good? And now, because we didn't act with any judgment, because we didn't acknowledge the word of Yah, now that is happening to us, we want to know, where's the judgment? But there is none, as it says in verse 11. We want to know, where is the salvation? But it is far off from us. For, verse 12, our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. We know what we've been doing. In transgressing and lying against Yahweh and departing from our Elohim and speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart the words of falsehood, Therefore, in judgment is turned away backward. In justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Don't you see the bad side to attempting to get it how you live? The bad side to the it is what it is. The bad side to the I'm not ready for that. The bad side to the I gotta live for the day. Get money now. The bad side to not considering your ways. The bad side to listening to teachers and leaders who don't teach you to turn from your transgressions, from your iniquities and your sins, that don't teach you judgment, that don't teach you justice, that don't show you truth, that don't use the word of Yah to back up their claims so that you have a good foundation for your beliefs and for the things that you say you do in the name of Yah. Judgment is turned away backward. Injustice standeth afar off. Truth is fallen in the street. And equity cannot enter. Verse 15. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. That's why if you want to separate yourself from wickedness and from evil, they're going to come after you. That's what you do with prey. You go after it. You chase after it. You hunt it down and you destroy it. And those of you that say, I'm going to be holy unto the mighty Yah. I'm going to sanctify myself in the name of the Most High. I'm going to separate myself from the wickedness and the evil. The ones that you've been around, they're going to come after you. And you're not going to be able to be around them. You can't just separate yourself in your mind and say, I'm going to separate myself, but I'm going to hang out with the wicked. I'm going to separate myself, but I'm going to converse with the rebellious. No. Because if you do, they don't even have to come after you. Hanging out with the wicked and the evil, and you're attempting to separate yourself, is like a sheep walking into a den of lions that haven't ate for 10 days. There's no way you're going to make it out without a bruise, without a scratch. Verse 15 says, he maketh himself a prey, and Yahweh saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Because when you live in iniquity, transgression, and sin, you cannot use judgment. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of Yah from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of Yah shall lift up a standard against them, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Yahakov, saith Yahweh. You see that? Even though we done transgressed, we done been sinful, Yahweh said he's going to come and redeem And whoever of them that has turned from transgression in Yahakov, he's redeeming, saith Yah. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith Yahweh. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed seed, saith Yahweh, from henceforth and forever. If you return to the Most High, he doesn't want you to die in your transgression, in your iniquities, or your sins. He doesn't want that. He wants you to turn. But we see how severe it is when we have iniquity, transgression, and sin. And how does the Most High forgive you for this? He tells you in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. This is not a game to play with Yah when it comes to transgressing, when it comes to sin, when it comes to iniquity. Yahweh doesn't want us to try to play patty cake with sin. This is not something we should think that we can find a loophole. No. This is something we don't want to play with. And we're going to go to the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. I was in the wrong chapter. I'm going to show you how he forgives this. How are you going to get forgiveness? In Exodus chapter 20, begin reading at verse 4. Says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yahweh, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the third and fourth generation, upon the fathers, upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Let me show you Exodus 34 again. In Exodus 34, verse 6, and Yahweh passed by before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh Elohim, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. But he forgives and keeps mercy for thousands that do what? Love him and keep his commandments. If you go on to the book of Isaiah, the 44th chapter. And start reading at verse 21. Isaiah 44, verse 21 states, remember these, O Yaakov and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. How do you return? What did he want you to do? Just so you can get your transgressions blotted out? Return unto him, because he's redeemed you. Sing, O ye heavens, for Yahweh has done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth in the singing, ye mountains, O forest and every tree therein. For Yahweh hath redeemed Yahakov and glorified himself in Israel. All you got to do is return. That's all you got to do. If you don't believe that, I'll show you again. Because though these transgressions are horrible, the sins are horrible, the iniquity is horrible, though Yahweh said these things are terrible, he also said he's blotted them out. And all you need to do is return unto him. Look in the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. In Isaiah chapter 43, it says in verse 10, ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Yahweh, and besides me there is no Savior. Letting you know, not only is Yahweh willing to save you and redeem you from all of your transgressions, all of your sins, and all of your iniquities, he's the only one that will do it. Why is that significant and important? Because I don't want you to let anybody lie to you and tell you that even though Yahweh has said these things, he won't forgive you because you don't have an offering, because you don't have a sacrifice. That's a lie. Don't let them lie to you and tell you that you can now call on the name of another deity, and this other deity will forgive you for all your sins. All you have to do is call on him. Don't let him lie to you and tell you these things, because it is surely a lie. Yahweh said this in the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. In the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, we'll begin reading at verse 20. It says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So Yahweh said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's how severe it is to sin. You're setting yourself up for death. And why would you want to set yourself up for death? Especially when Yahweh has given you a way out. If you sin ignorantly, you bring an offering. You get an atonement because you didn't know it. If you got iniquity, you have to turn from it. If you have transgression, you have to turn from it and do it no more. Look what he said. But if the wicked, and the wicked is the ones that do transgression, the wicked are the ones that commit sin, the wicked are the ones that have iniquity. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins, that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Verse 22, all his transgressions that he has committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, save Yah Elohim, and that he should not turn from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity. And why is the righteous committing iniquity? Because they know better. The righteous don't commit a sin, an ignorant sin, and now the Most High is going to penalize them for death for it. No, the righteous, if they didn't know it, then it's brought to their attention, they'll turn from it. They'll ask for mercy and forgiveness. They'll bring an offering. But if the righteous do something they know they ain't supposed to do, now they got iniquity. And Yahweh said, but when the righteous turneth from all his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass hath he trespassed, and in his sin hath he sinned. In them he shall die. Yet ye say, the way of Yah is not equal. Oh, hear now, house of Israel. Is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turns from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die again? When the wicked man turns away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that wicked, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. And that's beautiful, because Yahweh is righteous. And that's why we have to consider our ways now. Have we committed iniquity? Yes. Sin? Yes. Have we committed transgressions? Yes. What should we do? We should forsake our ways. We should turn from our wicked ways. Ask Yahweh for help. Admit that we have sinned. And turn from them. Reject them and do all of the ways of Yah. Because Yahweh will accept you if you humble yourself to him. In the last scripture, I'm going to show you the 51st verse. And it says in verse 15, O Yahweh, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O Elohim, thou will not despise. And this is the time to have a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, because this is the time Yah will not despise you. And Yah will accept you if you reject your ways. So we don't have to do iniquity, transgression, and sin. Not one of us have to do it. And Yahweh has given us the most blessed opportunity to return to him. Hallelujah. And into next time, which will be tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we at the house of Israel. Hallelujah and shalom.
I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything and to every word spoken. You can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse you. Know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy and his love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.